Blog Talk Radio.
Student of the game, had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
Well, good evening to everyone. Welcome to the Players Club Players Network. I'm your host, M.A. Scott, and as always, I promise you another wonderful show, folks. This evening, we're going to be talking about something that very rarely we get a chance to talk about, but it is so important to what we do, as parents, and what we continuously do as you know, just lovers of the sporting industry and what our children are going through. So, as I prepare to get us together here and look at all the callers that's on the line that's waiting to chime in on our conversation today, I think about a little piece that Dr. Patrick Cohen, a physical psychologist, talks about all the time. And he talks about how, you know, when is the right time to sit down and talk to our kids after a contest? You know, and that was one of the main reasons why I decided to put this show together. And I've had him, had pieces of his information on the show with us years ago. So if you want to go back and check it out, you can always check us out on Parents Network here on Blog Talk Radio. But one of the things that Dr. Cohen always says in his spiel is, you know, right after the game and soon as we get in the car and heading home, that is not really the time to sit down and talk to your child. The time to sit down and talk to your child is when he or she decides to open up to you and decide to share that information with you. Think about it this way. You know, the child just had a bad game. Here you are, you're jumping in the car. You just came from a tournament, showcase, combine, whatever. Now you're in the car and you have this hour drive. So the child is going to sit in the car with you for the next hour and y'all are rolling down the street. Well, parents, I know a lot of times we think that that's the time to chime in and get the conversation going and, you know, just to see where the child's head is, especially if the child seems to be a little emotional at that time, especially if the child seems to be a little down on himself or herself at that time. So a lot of times we seem to think that, okay, this is the time to chime in on the conversation. This is the time to just find out what's going on and talk about our experience. Well, you know, Dr. Cohen says that is not the time. Allow your child an opportunity to open up to you. Allow your child a chance to reach out to you to initiate that conversation before we get started. But in saying all that, you know, a lot of times we are so anxious to get into the conversation and do some things, so we often make a mess of that situation. So, folks, that's what we're going to talk about this evening. And if you want to join in on the conversation, if you have some questions, you have something that you want to share with us, you can always call in. You can reach us at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. And love to hear your thoughts on this particular conversation. I see we've got a number of callers that have called in this evening, and hopefully some of those callers have something that they want to share in the conversation. Well, you know, we opened up with my man, Mr. Keith, right? Keith is always there for me, and he shares that little piece I call, have titled, The College Experience. And Keith wrote that for me some years ago when we first started the Parents Court, the Parents Network here on Blog Talk Radio, and put that little piece together. But, you know, the key to all that is what he said. He's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. Well, Paris, I'm going to check with some of our callers and see if any of our callers want to join in on this conversation. I think I'm going to start with area code 516. 516. Good evening. Welcome to the Parents Code, the Parents Network. Area code 516-343.
Hi. This is Lisa. How are you?
Hey, Lisa. How are you this evening?
I'm good. This is
great,
my first
great.
Time on the
okay,
show.
Well,
I have two basketball-playing sons.
Okay.
One already completed Division I basketball.
Okay.
And he was pretty good listener, you know. He went to a top 25 school, but
mm-hmm.
it's the second one. Lord, I don't even know what to say. In fact, he just hung up the phone on me. Sometimes
wow.
it's very, well, you know, the different children can be raised in the same household.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so funny because when you just said what you said about Dr. Cohen, I'm one of those parents, I talk right after the game. Right
okay.
after the situation. We don't have a car. We use public transportation. So I kind of want the conversation over before we get to public transportation. I evaluate your situation. You tell me what you feel you do wrong. It's kind of over. No screaming, no yelling. Usually as they get further along, I really don't have that much to say because they really don't want to hear what I have to say. But this particular son, he's had some unfortunate circumstances. Like, he's gone to his third college and hasn't played.
Wow.
So, exactly. So, I just told him he has to get his stuff together because he doesn't have any film, and I'm trying to explain to him, you can't be around your girlfriend anymore. You don't have that opportunity. You know, we're from New York. We're not like from Puxatawny, Pennsylvania. You know what I'm saying? We're from...
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure there's ball players in Puxatawny, but I'm just saying.
I understand what you're saying. Yes.
But you've got to get your stuff together. Your brother is pretty nationally known amongst certain people. So... you can't be just going on his namesake alone because you have nothing, absolutely nothing. You got to be your own person. So you got to be. And he starts screaming and yelling. And you know what? I let him hang up the phone. I can't call you back because
oh,
at
my.
Some point you got to pull up your own bootstraps.
Mm-hmm.
I can't keep pulling them up for you, my brother. I love you dearly, but you got to pull him up, and your girlfriend can't come with you. She really can't. I don't want him
True.
To hang out there, but you know you gotta do something. And he's
okay.
a decent boy.
Well, I have a question for you. You said this is his third school. And so he's burning up his eligibility as time goes on.
Well, he's only burned up 1 year because last year he didn't play. He was a walk-on. He went to school in Kansas where my older son went to school, and he was on a team where they had eligibility for kids out of state and in state. So the team already had enough out of state students. So therefore, there wasn't enough room for him to play. So that was fine. And that was enough for him to catch up on all his grades. He doesn't even need a lot of credits to graduate, actually. You know, and he's a decent student.
Okay.
So he has 1 year left at JUCO with not that many credits, and then he'll have 2 full years of whatever division he can get himself into.
Okay. Well, I guess my question is, you said that he hasn't had a lot of opportunity or a lot of time to play. Has he had any playing time whatsoever?
He has. Played his freshman year. What year are we in? My mother died 2013. So he played in 2014, September, the December part of basketball season 2014.
Okay, 2014-2015 season.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right.
He played 2013-2014 season. Because the last school he went to school for a whole year.
All right.
2014. I don't know, sir.
I guess my question is, why hasn't he had any playing time?
The first school that he went to, he had to leave in January. He didn't even go to one class. And he immediately went to the school in Kansas. And he transferred to that school. And so this is 2015, 2016, end of school, right. So he played from September to, oh, God, I'm a teacher. You would think I would know. But I don't teach anymore, so therefore, there's your problem. So 2015 to 2016, he was in Kansas. And then from January 2015 to 2015, so from January to May 2015, he was also in Kansas. So 2014, September to January, he was upstate New York. So therefore, that was the only time he could play. He's been in Kansas ever since.
Okay.
And therefore, he hasn't had any playing time. You know, when you come in and you're not eligible to play, and then there's other sophomores in front of you. Oh, and then the coach left. The coach who recruited him from the other school, he left.
Hmm.
Right there, he left. He left that summer. That he stayed, my son stayed in Kansas that summer, and he just left. And this new coach comes, and we're thinking, well, you're going to be the sophomore now. There's only 4 sophomores, and Corey got the boot. Yeah, boop, gone. I was like, what did you just tell me? And he told him the last day of school.
Wow.
The last day of school. Who does that?
Okay, so what is his plans moving forward?
Oh, we've been to 3 schools already, and he's down to the last one. And this was just, you know, I don't play that. I don't have time for them games. We've been looking, And now it's down to family. It's just, I don't trust nobody anymore. If you don't personally know somebody that is either related to me basketball-wise or blood relation, so that I can blood relation, then my son can't go to that school. Because coaches, he told me, I mean, I went to my son's last basketball game in March. And you told my son, you told me to my face, your son will be here next year. And 6 weeks later, you told my son in his face, you're not coming back. I don't have any more space for you. But he also let go of the assistant coach who he and my son were, he was the dorm leader for the basketball team. And he and my son had a special relationship, so it seemed like, well, if I'm going to let him go, I'm going to let you go, too.
Mm.
Only, well, he kept, there were four freshmen coming, there were four freshmen left. Two freshmen got let go, one of which my son, the assistant coach, and two stayed. I don't know how many of the recruits stayed. I think some of the recruits followed the assistant coach.
Wow.
But, I mean, my son's attitude gets so negative, I don't want him to take that negative attitude someplace else. And you don't need to get a negative attitude with me. I'm the one who has to traipse all over the world with you. You know, he really needs to get himself together that way. But, I mean, he's come a long way. He's not such the big baby that he used to be. But I'm just tired.
It sounds like you have had a long, drawn-out process. But I think we initially started talking about how you like to get it all out of the way up front on your way to your prior to getting on public transportation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you just want them to relax, you know. Just that was my thought process, you know. Just get it out of the way. Let's just enjoy the ride home, get something to eat. You know, we've always lived in the suburbs, and, you know, they played ball in the city. And so nobody else is ever going our way. And it's always a bonding time for us. And usually, you know, there's either a brother or a sister or whatever. And, you know, my son's never on a losing team, but you still have critiques. You know, my son is a center. My older son is a center. He's 7 foot. So, you know, there's always a game-changing moment or whatever the case may be. You just always want to, you know, say whatever you have to say and move on.
Well,
but
let me share with you the thoughts of sports psychologist Dr. Patrick Cohen. And he writes about this in his book as well. He talks about allowing the child the opportunity to open up to you instead of, you know, because they may have had a bad game, they may have had a lot of pressure on their mind, you know, on themselves, thinking that, you know, had I made this last shot or had I stopped this last point or, you know, had I not fouled out or whatever the case may be, had they not done these things, then, you know, maybe they would have came out with the win or, you know, maybe the game would have turned out differently. So allowing them to process all these things themselves, and then when they get ready or they get to the point where they're ready to open up, then they'll open up and they'll slowly talk about it after they process. Because we know as parents, we can tell them until they're blue in the face, just like you just talking about now as you're sitting down talking to your son about the different schools and trying to get him focused on being at the school instead of worrying about what his girl is doing and all these other little things and, you know, trying to keep up with his brother. As we as parents try to guide them to where we think they should be or where we think that or where we know that they have the potential to be, should I say, by us trying to force them into that slot automatically, and I'm talking from the perspective of being a young man myself at some point in time and somebody trying to steer me in one particular direction, although I know I needed to go there, but since you're trying to steer me there, I need to make my own decision. And as a result, I ended up rebelling. So that's something I don't know, it must be built in our DNA, something crazy like that that's built into our DNA, but it's something that we as men have a tendency to do, because we get to that point in our life where we think that we have to make our decision. So, you know, after I listened to and read some of the book from the doctor, you know, I started dealing and approaching things that my son was doing, you know, from a different perspective, basically letting him know, okay, what you want to do. All right, no matter whatever you want to do, I'll support you in. You know, I may throw in a few options that you may have. Well, if that doesn't work out, maybe we want to look at this. But allowing him to make that decision to go left, right, or continue on the path that he wanted to go on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just letting him know that you're going to be there to support him. Because at the end of the day, when that decision is made, if it's a decision that we make as parents and it turns out to be the bum decision, oh, we're going to hear the blues. But if it turns out to be the right decision, you know what's going to happen. They're going to pump their chest. You know, they're going to walk around with their head held high. You know, they're going to feel like they're on top of the world because they done made the decision. They done did the right thing. They done put themselves in this situation. But if we make that decision or we stare them into that corner, and it turns out to be a sad situation. Well, I told you, Dad. I told you, Mom. You know, I ain't never really want to go there anyway. You always wanted me to go there. And the only thing we can say is, yeah, we did. We did. At that point, you know, we have to learn to step back and allow them to make that decision. You know, we got to do that game of tough love. And I'm quite sure you know something about that tough love. Because it sounds like you have a little bit in you yourself, but you just have a harness on how to use it and when to use
it. Yeah, I've had to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a bit.
I know. I can hear it in your voice. I can hear it in your voice. I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah.
Definitely can. But, you know, another thing that I wanted to talk about today, and I want to get your thoughts on this as well. You know, are you one of those parents that during the game, here's a crucial moment, your son may be on the free throw line, get ready to shoot some free throws, the score may be real close. If he makes these two, it'll tie it up, or if he makes these two, it'll put him ahead. You know, are you one of those parents that's on the sideline yelling and screaming and trying to do some sideline coaching? Or are you one of those parents that's sitting over there calmly, you know, with your fingers crossed? Or in some cases, a lot of parents, and I've seen this for myself, some parents would get up and even walk out of the gym or walk out of eyesight of their child, you know.
Okay.
And stand out in the hallway for something crazy. So which one are you? Go ahead.
There's a difference. In high school, in that situation, my son was like a 99% free throw shooter. In college, okay, he could also shoot threes. In college, they didn't want him to shoot threes, and he lost his free throws. So I didn't make any – he played in high D1. So in arenas, even though – oh, God, my friend said, you know we can hear you on TV. I was one of those parents.
Well, what do you think your son thinks if your friends at home are telling you –
oh, no.
You know we can hear you on
TV. My kids already – they're fine with it. Because even the teammates are like, no – that helps us. It gives them, because I'm telling them if I see a cutter or something like that, and they're like, oh, you know, they know. And I get the crowd going.
Okay.
In college is a lot different than high school, because in college you get tickets where you sit. So in college, the alumni section is not the student section. The student section is different. You know, they're always standing and cheering and loud. The alumni section, they get loud when we're winning. But when we're losing, they're just kind of sitting down or whatever. I'm loud 99% of the time. Now, if he was on the free throw line and the, you know, the game is on the line or whatever, you know, I'm just praying. I'm just, you know, one time, where was I? This guy put me on Snapchat or whatever. My son was actually in Japan, but I happened to be at another game. And my oldest son saw me, and I don't know how they did it, but my oldest son said, "Mommy, this is what you look like." And I'm like, "Oh, my God." I don't care, but I never saw myself, obviously. And I was just at another game at his school, and he's like, "You know, I've never gotten a real chance to see you either," because he hears me, but people tell me when I'm there at a game, he plays better. I remember in high school, the same thing. People would call and say, "Are you coming to the game? You have to hurry and get here." But I lived two blocks from the high school, so it was different. But, you know, in college, we always talked before the game, after the game. I watched every game. I'm an integral part of my kids and, you know, who they are when it comes to basketball. I've been playing basketball all my life. I was almost born in Madison Square. I mean, not physically, but I love basketball.
Now, when your son said to you that particular time, "Mommy, this what you look like," do you think that that was a proud moment for him? Or was that
it was more
"Hey,
like,
Mommy, you may want to check yourself sometime" moment?
No, they no. Be clear. When they need me to be quiet, they give me that look. They'll tell me.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely tell me. If they never say, "Mommy, calm it down," that means they they need the boost, or I don't think none of their teammates have ever said anything. A lot of them are like, "Miss Enriquez, you know, you really help us get through games," you know, or tell me stuff like that. But, you know, I dance a lot during, you know, when the music is playing, especially like in high school games and stuff like that. It's more like keeping the crowd happy, just to keep, even especially if they're losing, you know, so that they can concentrate on the game and not concentrate on the losing aspects of it. You know, listen to the coach. Don't worry. Because high school kids worry so much about, "Oh, my goodness, we're 20 points down." Don't worry about 20 points down. Listen to what the coach is telling you. And then if the coach is whacked, then I just got to tell him what to do. Sometimes I do that. I cannot deal with a whack coach who's telling people to play. You know, if you're getting beat by playing man to man, then I'm gonna tell you play one on one. I ain't got time for that.
Okay. Okay, but what if the coach is still telling them to play man to man?
I don't care. No, just don't do it. And there are some coaches who are just bad.
But
in a particular game, they're just either they're not seeing it, or the assistant coach isn't seeing it. There's something's wrong. If a team is coming down and shooting threes, then you need to go man to man. There's something wrong.
You think so?
I've seen it happen. I mean, you
no,
can't
I'm saying, but is that the only thing that you can do if a team is coming down shooting threes and go man to man?
Well, if they happen right at past the half court line and just passing once or twice, I think so. They're not even penetrating.
Okay. Well, what about a 1-3-1 defense?
I'm not talking about my older son's team. That was a different team altogether. But my younger son's team, they had height, but he just didn't seem to know how to use it. So, you know, they had teams that were better than them, but he didn't know how to use a little bit of height on his team that he had. You have to get these guys in front of the guys who can shoot three-point shots on a regular basis. What you doing with man-to-man and ain't nobody penetrating? It don't make no sense. If you challenge them a little bit, then they're going to have to make two or three passes. And he had really good guards who were really quick. And you steal the ball, you go on your way. You hope you can get a layup, which his team couldn't do that much. But my son was there to rebound the layups and score. So.
Okay.
And he would catch up. They wouldn't win all the time, but they wasn't down 25 points. What's the difference between, listen, I used to say all the time, you didn't lose by 25, you lost by 5. There's a difference for them, you know, when they're 16. It's not a 25, because the next day in school, yo, you got blown out by 25.
Okay. Who really cares about that? You know, at the end of the day,
high school kids do. They get teased about
that. I know, but that's the kids that's not going anywhere, the ones that got time to tease somebody else. I see them kids all the time. Some of the kids that will never make anybody's team because they're too busy worrying about.
You know what's so funny? I've never said that to my son. I never said that. Because, you know what, I never thought of it that way. But it hurts their feelings, mm-hmm. I think. No, I know it does, because the guys who are going to get, even if it's to a JUCO, they're going to get a little playing time or whatever. You know, you don't like that thrown up in your face. And their friends do come to the games. You know, and then you come to the games to cheer them on just to make fun of them. That's stupid to me.
Okay.
But, you know,
Are they really their friends if that's all they want to talk about?
Now, I would say that, you know. But
now, see,
whatever.
A child that has time to joke all the time and talk about what the team is not doing, I ask that child very quickly, why didn't you make the team?
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, because the coach is bunk. Well, if you're that good, you could have came on the team and made such a huge difference. Until then, you have no conversation. You know,
well, it's a really small town, yeah. And my son's
in that situation, your child's moving on to go to college. This guy is still playing in the rec league back at home.
Right. And
so
that's the thing that I didn't really want to, you know, it's just a really, really, the town is just a square mile, and you know, I just didn't want my kids, I mean, they stand out because they're so tall, but, you know, some of the kids who played basketball didn't really get to stay when they went to college, you know, they played a year or whatever, and then they came home, and, you know, they never went back or whatever the situation may be, you know, Corey keeps going to a different school, kids just stop playing. And I'm like, why do you stop playing? Like, why do you give up? You're not a bad basketball player. You know, you may not go to a Division II school, but you can play somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And he may just have to, you know, work extra hard and wait to get into the rotation. And then when you get into the rotation, you go ahead and go off. And once you get in there and you're comfortable and the coach see what you're doing, then you got a better chance of working your way into the rotation more often. But
right.
At some point
exactly.
in time, you know, you got to establish yourself. And you can't establish yourself by, you know, getting there and you're upset, you're pouting, you know, really don't want to be there because he didn't call you out to be one of the starters. All of a sudden now he done moved this freshman up in front of you. Okay, hey, this freshman's going to get the business next time we hit practice. That's all you have to say. And keep that in your mind that freshman's going to get it the next time practice show up.
Right. I don't
Go ahead. Make sure the coach know. Go ahead, Lisa.
I really don't want coaches telling my kid, well, you're going to come here and you're going to be the starter, or I really need somebody to be the take charge person, this, that, and the other. I mean, my kids do know how to lead on the basketball court, and the one thing I know they cannot tolerate are people who give up. And I think, you know, I really don't know where they get that from, or maybe that's because I teach them not to never go to the back. Why are you laughing?
I don't even believe you said that. I don't even believe you said that. You don't know where they get that from. I've been listening to you for the last few minutes here, and I can tell you where they got that from.
Well, because I don't think I ever said those words, but...
No, you don't have to.
But they hate it with a disdain, like especially the younger one, like when you don't play and give it your all, or if he feels like he has to play every position because somebody don't want to jump and get the rebound. Like, even when I see him playing and somebody's not getting the ball, I call out that person. And, like, the one coach, okay, when I went to his school, this school that he just left, when I went to the school's last game, the girls also won. And they won their division, I believe, against, you know, schools play each other. So they had the name of the school was something name, I forget. But they were rivals. These two schools were rivals. So they had a physical altercation their last game. So it was a big, big competition thing. Like, the gym was crowded. My son bought me gear to wear. I was like, what are you doing? I can wear regular clothes. He's like, no, you got to wear this. Okay, whatever. And so, you know, the girls hustle, but their center was down. So they put in a freshman, and you could clearly see that she was different from the regular girls, from the sophomores. And she didn't have no self-confidence. I threw confidence at that girl like she just learned how to tie her shoe for the first time, because she was making rebounds and going right back up. And even though it was sloppy, they were going in. And I think the girls on the other team, they're like, first of all, where did she come from? Because she might have been 6'9", 250. And they didn't know what to do with her because she didn't know how to post up. She didn't know how to do nothing. She just stood there, caught the ball, and put it back up. But her teammate, I think her name was Stephanie. I don't even think they knew, because I think in practice she didn't do anything. But there was some – I just kept – just don't give up. Just keep going, girl. I told her, come down, turn around, ready to catch the ball. I just gave her step-by-step instruction because she was just, like, doing so well. And at the end of the thing, the coach came out and said, thank you so very much. That was the first time a coach ever thanked me for anything, ever.
You were doing that sideline coaching.
And it wasn't even my own kid.
There's nothing wrong with that. It was all positive. That's a good thing.
It was fun. You know what I'm saying? Because she was doing a good job, and when the regular girl could come in, you know, I think she had she hurt her foot really bad, so she could only play for a few minutes. But Stephanie came in. I think she'll do wonderful, you know, this upcoming season. You know, I don't know you know, if they'll recruit over her or whatever. But, you know, she did well. She contributed to them. The other team couldn't foul her because she was immovable. Like, you know, you hit a wall and you're the one who fall down. That's how big she was. She had no shooting. Yeah, you know, she just needed to stand under the basket and catch the ball and just put it back in. And but it was just marvelous. And those girls really, the two-point guards, or the point and the shooting guard, or they were really two, they were two shooting guards and one knew how to be a point guard. They were on fire.
Okay.
Hello.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Well, hey, we're going to take a little break here, Lisa.
Okay, because
I'm listening.
No, no, no. There are other people.
Yeah, I want to try to see if I can get some more of these people in on
all
the
right.
call here.
Thank you.
But
we
truly enjoy your conversation. And stay on. Stay on. Don't go nowhere.
I will.
Continue to listen and see what else we come up with. We're going to take a little break and we'll be right back.
Okay. Thank you so much. It was fun.
No problem.
Okay.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
What is the NAIA?
The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics is the organizing body that oversees college athletics for its member schools. Schools who are members of the NAIA are made of smaller colleges located in the United States and Canada. The NAIA was established in 1952 as an organization to establish competition between colleges. The NAIA sponsors 13 different sports and runs 23 annual championships for those sports, in both men's and women's athletics. The NAIA has different member schools than the NCAA and has different eligibility requirements as well. To make sure you are eligible to compete at an NAIA school, you need to register with the NAIA Eligibility Center at playnaia.org. Feel free to learn more at our website, athleticscholarships.net. Get recruited to play college sports today.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Okay, folks, we're back. We're back. We've had a interesting first half of the show. We had a caller called in, and she shared some great insight with us and definitely some lessons learned and her personal experience when dealing with her son and playing sports. And also, as she closed out, she shared with us some information on how she was able to help and motivate other children. Well, folks, we're talking about this evening, you know, what are some of the things that we do? Let me give you an example, and I started this example talking to our last caller, and then we'll go back to the phone line. Talk to our last caller. What happens? Your child's at the free throw line. Here's a chance to tie the game up, or your child's a kicker, or your child has this penalty kick. We're talking soccer, or we're talking football, whatever sport. And it's that crucial time period in the game. The game can be decided based upon the next few plays, and your child is on the line. Where are you as a parent? Are you that parent that has to step outside the arena because you're sitting there biting your nails? Are you the parent that's sitting on the edge of your seat yelling out all kinds of expletives trying to get your child's attention or make sure that your child completes the play or does his best or just totally commits himself into the play? Or you're the parent that's calmly sitting there knowing that you have all the faith in the world that your child's going to be successful in completing that play. you know, something that I've learned to do over the years, and I've had a chance to talk about this very same thing this morning on WFAN with Coach Rick Wolf. I had the chance to do over the years, just basically tell my child before the game, hey, have fun. And I told him that so much to the point of I stressed it all the way down to when you stop having fun, that may be the time you want to stop playing. Because I'm not trying to help him fulfill his dream. He's fulfilling his dream. I'm going to provide every resource, whatever type of guidance I can hand out there. You know, I'm going to try to provide as much as encouragement and support as possible. But at the end of the day, it's a decision that he has to make. And even to today, you know, when he's coming through the tunnel, give a step out there on the court. If I'm there at the game, you know, I'll still yell it out. Have fun. But I won't yell it out because I'll be close enough where I can say it at a normal rate or normal pitch. And he can still hear me. Understand, hey, okay. He'll give me a thumbs up, head nod, or whatever to let me know that he heard me and keep on going from there. Enjoy the game. Have fun with it. You know, don't make it so that it's a point where you feel as though that you're being driven just to go out there and do what you love to do or what you have expressed that you love to do. So, and being that parent, we must maintain our sense of dignity on the sideline. We must make sure that at the end of the day, thing that we say and do in the arena, on the field, whatever, is appreciated by all. Because at the same time, as we're yelling and screaming sometimes, and whether or not we're yelling and screaming at our child, whether or not we're yelling and screaming at someone else's child, which I hope that's not the case, you know, at the end of the day, if we wasn't so caught up in this win and loss situation, then at the end of the day, everyone would walk away on an equal plane. But since we do have this wins and loss, okay, someone's going to win and someone's going to lose. Now, the child that went out there and their team lost, you know, all that extra criticism that you shared with them during the game may have been the breaking point. Because we don't know what's in the mind of each one of those athletes out there on the field or on the court. So we have to be very cautious and very mindful of just making sure that whatever we share is on a positive note. And like I was talking to our last caller and talking about her transition, she talked about her transition home, you know, I was still encouraged that, you know, you wait until the athlete is prepared to talk to you, and then from there move forward. Because they may share some things with you that you may not have known taking place. It could have taken place during the game. It could have taken place in the locker room. It could have taken place prior to the game. It could have taken place earlier in the day prior to, you know, everything starting up. So allow them to bring it up. Let that information surface. Let them go into it. Don't try to pull it out of them too fast. But just be patient with them. And when they get to that point where they're really in that comfort zone, they'll share it with you. That way you have strengthened the bond, connection, and the channels of communication with your child. Well, let's go to another caller here. I'm going to try this other caller here, area code 757-21218. Welcome to the Parents Coach the Parents Network. Did you have something that you wanted to share with us this evening? Hello, caller?
Hello.
Hello. Good evening.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Did you have something
that you wanted to share with us this evening?
Oh, I was just listening to the other lady, and, I mean, everybody makes a difference in athletes. it's a lot of different ways to handle athletes. So, I mean, everybody does it different.
Yes, it is. It is. What are some of the remedies that some of the situations that you have used? And you don't have to talk about anything in particular or any situation
well,
in particular.
Well, I noticed when my son was playing basketball, I mean, I just applauded him. Always say, you know, just do the best you can. But I think he had this thing about it. When he was under pressure, he could just go out there and just take over. He did very well under pressure.
Oh, my. Okay. Okay, so he's a clutch type player. He's one of them players that coaches love to have.
Yes, he is, I would say. You know, and like she said, when she was in the stands, I mean, I applauded him. Go ahead. You know, hey, that's good. And, you know, I just said, all right, you know, and I mean, and for his team, I would be like the cheerleader. So, you know, that's the way I kept it.
Hey, that's a great thing to be. That's a great thing to be. Because each one of our kids need a strong, you know, if they're constantly being barraged by negative input, negative output, you know, just negativity coming from the coach, negativity coming from the teammate, and then they turn around and got to hear it from, you know, family members at home,
well,
then when is their outlet? When is their outlet?
Well,
when do they have a chance
to vent? I told him, you know, okay, I can give you a basketball, I can give you a football. But, you know, like I say, education was the most important. As long as you're doing your work, you can play basketball, football. I was fine with it. And I just did it the smooth way. I just represented him in every way, was there, around his friends, helped them. You know, I just played mama. And, you know, it worked. I was not his, you know, friend. I was his mom, but I was just telling, just do the best you can. That's all you can do.
Exactly. And my son was one,
he always, you know, he wanted to win. And to win, you know, I say, you know, hey, it's you. You do it, you know. I'll support you. I mean, and he was never bad on the floor. He didn't hit anybody. He always did it the polite way.
And that's always a great thing. That's always a great thing because that shows that part of it, I'd be willing to bet, came from you.
Right.
That part of it, I'd be willing to bet, came from you. What you instilled in him over the years.
And he did very well schoolwork, and he did just what he said he wanted to do. And I just followed up on, if you want to do this, then fine, I'm behind you. And he became just very good at, you know, what he needed to do. Now he's playing professional football.
Okay. And I thought this was Ava.
So you know whose mom you're talking to. You're talking to B.W. Wells. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, I'm doing all right, sister. I'm doing all right.
I'm doing fine. I thought I'd give you a call and talk to some of the mothers. You know, just be there for your kids. You know, support them and, you know, whatever. We have a celebrity basketball game going on this week. I mean, you know, B.W.'s out there. He's out there to help kids. He's given a free camp. This is his third year. I mean, he's doing this thing.
That's right.
What I love.
He's doing
that part.
That's right. He sure is. And I, folks, this person here on the line with me this evening, I've known her for the better part of,
Ever since was real small in track.
I mean, everything he does,
it's been a blessing. Track, football, basketball, anything he plays. He's just a good athlete. But number one, like I say, you have to train your child in books. You have to train them in the mind, the feet, in doing what they need to do. If they don't push them, if they don't want to do it, then, you know, you leave it alone.
Exactly.
But he wanted
exactly.
to do it. I mean, it was like once, if you let me go out to track this year and do this and do that, you know, I'm going to win a medal. And I went like, yeah, right, kid. Guess what? Fourth in the nation.
That's right. That's right.
Always did very well in basketball, went to the state, AAU. I mean, just did very well. You just keep them motivated, keep them in church, around good kids. It works. And thank
God. Now, folks, let me tell you about this here caller here. And I'm just going to share some stuff she didn't think I was going to talk about, because her and I had this conversation one time before. How, see, she has this young man here, DW, but she also keeps an eye on quite a few others. And anybody that
everybody
comes with
in
that
Newport News call me Mama Dub. I mean,
there you go.
I'm stationed up there at the College of William and Mary. I mean, everybody, they can come to me.
That's right.
DW was playing at Warwick High School, he was in the IB program. I made sure for 3 years those kids ate. They had a meal, game meal. Out of my pocket.
All right.
Not out of somebody else's pocket. My pocket.
Well, I see that. That's
so,
a blessing.
I mean,
I care about
all the kids. Do you want something? What do you want in life? You know, I mean, what do you want? Let's go and get it. If it's something out there, I need that guy. I need some help. We're going to find it for you. That's the type of mom I am. Just because I have kids, it doesn't matter.
Go ahead. I'm
every kid here in the Tidewater area, if you want it, I will try to get it, get you there.
That's right. That's right. Definitely a blessing in disguise, folks. Blessing in disguise. We've had the opportunity
and
to have
just come out, like I say, this weekend, support him. He's going to have his celebrity basketball game at Denby High School, 7 o'clock.
Oh, okay, what time is that?
The 17th.
The 17th.
The 17th.
At what time?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock at Denby High School. All right, I will
High
be out
school.
There.
Okay.
I will be out there. All right. Well, we thank you for calling in this evening, and it's definitely been a pleasure, but me and you are going to have to do a separate show so we could just talk to the parents about some lessons learned. And
yeah,
some things
I mean,
that we
you
did.
Know, all I'm saying is whatever your child wants to be, he can be. Just support him.
That's
just
right.
Just be there for him. And not only for him, other kids. It's other kids come to me. You know, let's make this world a better world by, you know, helping it. Every time it's down, stop downplaying. You know, help each other. You see a kid down, help him.
That's true. Yes, ma'am.
And you can take in basketball. He could be the worst player in the world. I can get out there. I don't care. And say, you know, son, okay, we're going to practice. That's what you want to do? At least we're going to practice. We're going to make you better. So that's all I'm saying. Books, the same way. You make yourself better.
All right.
If you're not good in
all
math,
right.
you know, just work on it. Or we'll find a tutor for you, you know? That's all I'm saying. Help.
That's it. We definitely appreciate you there, Miss Ava.
Help them. Okay.
All right. We'll be talking to you later on in the week.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
And listen,
okay.
Stay with us for the rest of the show. Okay.
Oh, I will. Okay.
Well, folks, so we've had some great callers this evening and definitely got some insight and earful from that last caller, but I truly appreciate that caller, and I respect that caller from over the last 15-plus years I've known her. She's always been that type of mom that made sure she looked after not only her child, but any child that she was connected to, any child that she was connected to. You know, and that's what I think that's one of the biggest things when I think we first met, we was out at the track. The kids was out there running track. And it kind of like we gravitated towards each other. Just sitting down, talking to each other, seeing each other in passing, you know, knowing that we're out there to encourage and help the next group of kids come along. But parents, we all have to be able to do that. We all have to be able to share our insight, our wisdom, our guidance, even more so our guidance, with every young athlete that we come in contact with. Because let me put it this way. You know, we have this issue going on with a lot of our young men getting caught up in bad situations and being pulled astray and, you know, getting caught up in the system. And I'm talking about the judicial system and all these other little things. We have to help them avoid that. And if you look at probably about 60 to 70% of those young men, at some point in time were probably pretty good to great athletes. They got discouraged. They got driven off track. They got the wrong people in their ear trying to guide them. They just got to the point where they got fed up and they wasn't having fun with it anymore. So as a result, they just started rolling with the wrong crowd. We want to try to help them avoid that, folks. I'm getting tired of seeing our young men getting bad situations and becoming incarcerated over. And it's not just about them getting into that incarceration in the judicial system. It's just that I need to see more of our young men and young ladies as well grow up to be prominent citizens in our community. We have the ability. We have the form. We have great callers that was on with us this evening that shared things with us, that really poured it out, and let us know that they have a passion to make sure that their child succeeds, and not only their child succeeds, other children succeed. We here at the Parents Coach of Parents Network is here for you each and every week. We're going to continue to be here. We're going to be out there at the B.W. Webb Celebrity Game this weekend. So if you get a chance, you're in the Hampton Roads area, please, by all means, stop on out there at Denby High School, 7 p.m. Get out there early. Introduce yourself. Meet somebody. Or if you know of some other events that's going on somewhere up and down the East Coast where we can come out and support our young athletes, let that be known. Send me some information here on the Parents Coach of Parents Network so I can share it with others. Because as you see, we have a wide variety of folks calling in each and every week. But at the end of the day, parents, we must be our child's biggest advocate. I put it on every little tweet that I send out there, hashtag be an advocate or be a advocate, standing for be an advocate. I don't want to put B-A-N because it looked like it said being advocate or something like that, and somebody would have got that mixed up. I want to be an advocate. Make sure that we are our child's biggest supporter. Continue to be that way, folks. At the end of the day, help us help you. It's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. As always, we like to say here on the Parents Coach of Parents Network, and until next week, folks, you know what? Hey, I'm looking forward to continuing this conversation or other conversations. Just check us out throughout the week and see what we're talking about. You can find us on Facebook at Parents Coach of Parents. You can find us on Twitter at PCP Network and Instagram as well, PCP Network. We got some other things going on, some things coming up over the next few days. Not only does BW have his Celebrity Game going on, but I believe on the 16th, there's also a middle school showcase going on over on at Phoebus High School. I believe it's somewhere over there. I'll find out more information and put that out there on our Facebook page as well. So, folks, until then, hey, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun with my man, Mr. Keith Wright. Close us out, Keith.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing, I'm out the diploma, out the pen.